Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
If you, O Lord, should count our sins,
God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are sinful and unclean by nature, and also that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And so we flee to find refuge in your limitless mercy, looking and pleading for your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Most merciful God, who gave your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us real knowledge of you, and of your will, and real obedience to your word, so that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place.
The Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you.
No plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
When When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation. Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from the fifth book of Moses, called Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. Moses said, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, 'I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us.' Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. 'A wandering Armenian was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress,
my God, in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler
and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge.
His faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night,
nor the arrow that flies by day,
nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness,
nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand,
but it will not come near to you.
You will only look with your eyes
and see the recompense of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High, who is my refuge,
no evil shall be allowed to befall you,
nor will they come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot.
You will tread on the lion and the adder,
the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 10th chapter. Brothers, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Put on the whole armor of God,
that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. This is our text. Later in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Temptations to sin are sure to come. Temptations to sin are sure to come." In other words, we should expect them. But I wonder, do we actually wake up in the morning expecting to meet temptation in the day ahead? And of course, when Jesus says that temptations to sin are sure to come, it also means that we should be prepared for them. I wonder, are we? Are we actually prepared when temptations do come? Do we know what to do? Do we know where to turn? Because no life here is free from temptations, and so no temptation should ever surprise us. The history of God's people, if you read through the scriptures, is a reminder of this. The history of God's people is also a warning for us. Take, for example, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they were made in the image of God. They were blessed with perfect righteousness. They feared, loved, and trusted the Lord their God without sin. They had the closest possible relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. And yet when the serpent came along and tempted them, they failed. Or take the children of Israel, that history that we heard recounted from Deuteronomy chapter 26. They were slaves in Egypt when God rescued them by a mighty hand. God saved them in a way that they could never have saved themselves. As his chosen people, they enjoyed a unique relationship with God. He promised them grace and every blessing if only they would follow him. And yet they were tempted in the wilderness. And yes, they also failed. What was it that did them in? Did in Adam and Eve, did in the children of Israel in the wilderness? What temptations were so great that caused them to fall? The same temptations that afflict us. It was the lust of the eyes and the desire for worldly pleasures. It was the wish to be great and the wish to rule even over God. And it was the longing for safety and protection on their own terms. And ultimately, if we trace their fall to its very root, it was this. It was their unbelief in God and the fact that they didn't trust God to provide, to rule, and to protect them. And now we come to today's gospel reading. Now here comes Jesus. Luke makes clear that he's still dripping from his baptism. He's beloved of the Father. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And as his genealogy makes clear, he's descended from Adam, the Son of God. So he's a new and second Adam. And he's also in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel. So he's a new Israel. It makes us wonder, what will happen to him when temptations come? Will the new Adam be like the old Adam? Will the new Israel be like the old Israel? Temptations to sin are sure to come. And that's exactly why the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. And that's when the devil struck. He attacked when the Son of God was at his weakest and most vulnerable, when he was tired and hungry, when he was in pain. You know how that is. I would venture to guess that the times when we find ourselves weakest toward temptation,
when we find ourselves in the most conflicts and trouble in life, or when we too are tired and hungry and in pain. And the devil's no fool. The devil is subtle and he is nuanced and he knows how to sell sin. Is he ever a salesman? He knows how to put every sin in the best light. He knows how to make promises that sound so good even when we know he could never deliver. He's able to massage things around the edges to make them seem okay. And he attacks our Lord. Not once, not twice, but three times. As we follow these three temptations, it's worth remembering that different things tempt us at different ages. What tempted you when you were 6 years old is different than the things that will tempt you when you are 66 years old. So it's worth asking this question, these questions. Where am I most vulnerable? What are my biggest temptations? And how am I tempted by these same things? So the first temptation was this. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Now, it's not just that the devil questions whether Jesus is truly the Son of God, though that's sort of in there as well, but that it's that he tempts Jesus as God's Son to use his power to serve himself and not others. There's no question that Jesus absolutely could change the stone into bread if he wanted. In fact, he can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed thousands of people if he so desires. It's not a question of his power, but whether he will use that power to serve himself or to serve others. It's about whether he will give in to his own self, his own desires and be ruled by his body, especially by his belly. We have these same temptations as well. Not only the temptation of food, but the temptation of anything to serve our body and satisfy its desires. Food and drink and drugs and alcohol and sex and worldly possessions. The devil says there's no need to wait. There's no need to be hungry. Instead of asking for your daily bread, instead of receiving whatever God provides, which honestly may not be exactly what we want when we want it, the devil says, seize it. Take it. Take what you want for yourself and meet your own needs now because you can't trust your Father in heaven to meet your needs. And Jesus answered the devil. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You see, the problem wasn't that the devil mentioned bread. We have a real need for bread. The problem was he left off the rest of it. The Word, the one who stands behind the bread. Because it's not the bread that gives us life, but it's our Father in heaven who gives the bread that gives us life, that we should be looking to. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst," Jesus says, "for righteousness, for they will be filled," in a way that turning stones into bread or seizing it for ourselves could never fill us. And then the second temptation, the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." The devil promises a kingdom to give power and rule and authority to our Lord. Now, sometimes we scratch our heads at this. How could the devil give Christ anything? The scriptures do call the devil the ruler of this world, by which they mean that he is the ruler of this fallen world and the ruler of those who are ruled by sin. And that is the kingdom he is offering. He promises that the kingdoms of the earth could be the Lord's now. Now, that temptation may seem far from us in some ways. None of us are particularly in the halls of power or tempted by ruling the kingdoms of the earth. But I do wonder what little kingdoms tempt you. Whom would you like to rule? In what places? At home? At school? At work? As a pastor, one of the things that I've reflected on from time to time is how it would probably be the worst possible thing for me as pastor to be able to create a church entirely in my own image, to make a little kingdom for myself to rule. How terrible that would be. But we all have our temptations. The people or the places that we would like to exercise authority over, rather than trusting God to rule them and us. Worship me, the devil says, and it will all be yours. He desires our worship. He desires our allegiance. He desires to know that he has us in his pocket and that we belong to his kingdom. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Notice this difference between God and the devil. The devil says, "Worship me and I will give to you." God gives first, and then we worship him. He does not demand and say, "Bow on your knees," or "Come before me and worship and I will give you whatever I want." But instead, our God is a God of grace and of mercy, and he freely pours his gifts upon us, and that's why we worship him. He doesn't demand our worship first. And our Lord will have all authority in heaven and on earth. It will be given to him, not by the devil, but by his Father, but not until he's gone through the cross and through the suffering. And the third temptation. The devil took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written," note that the devil knows Scripture, "he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." The temptation for safety and for protection. The temptation to force God's hand to take care of us in all of the ways that we desire. And notice when the devil quotes Scripture, he quotes it in part, but not in full. "He will guard you," the Scripture said, "in all your ways." The way that our Lord had to go was a way that did not involve the Father always protecting him from every suffering and every harm. In fact, the way that our Lord went was a way that would take him into suffering and into harm. The devil is tempting him to be safe without going through his suffering and death. But our Lord knows the way he must go. Our Lord knows the wrath that must fall on him. Our Lord knows that he must strike his foot not only against a stone, but against a nail. Nail's spear shall pierce him through, as he bears sins for you and for me. The devil says, "You will know that you are God's son if he protects you in trouble." And Jesus answered him and said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Our Lord knew that he was the beloved Son of the Father, not because he was protected from every harm and danger, not because his life always went exactly the way he wanted it, he would have wanted it to go, not because he was spared every trial. He knew he was the Father's beloved Son because he had the word of his baptism. "This is my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the same assurance and promise. Through the waters of holy baptism, you indeed are beloved sons and daughters of the Father in heaven. And yes, there may be times when we would wish that he would show us in another way, that he would do this for us or that for us, or protect us from that thing or the other thing. But we know who we are. We know that we are his. We know that he loved us so much that he sent his Son not only into this world, but that he sent his Son into temptation for us. Our Lord will feed with bread those whom he loves. Our Lord will exercise all authority in heaven and on earth for the good of his people. Our Lord will go through suffering and death and then be lifted up from the grave for our sake. Our Lord must go to the cross and not bypass it. He must endure the full suffering and shame of our sin. He must be laid in the grave for our death. Our Lord must be our champion, as he was in the wilderness in temptation. We see there a couple of things to help us in our temptations. We see, first of all, how powerful the word of God is. We can rely on God's word. We can trust it to send the devil running. Indeed, I often think that there's nothing that scares the devil more than to hear the word of God spoken. Nothing that the devil hates more than the word with the water in holy baptism, or the absolution that you heard today, or the word joined to the elements of bread and wine, bringing to us the very body and blood of our Lord. The second thing we see is just how powerful our Lord is. There is a man who is victor over the devil. There is a man who went into single combat with Satan and won. And he is your champion and mine. Greater than Adam, greater than Israel. And you can rely on him. One of the greatest dangers we face as Christians when we are faced with temptation is that we would rely on ourselves and not on him. To be a strong and faithful Christian does not mean that we engage the devil in combat ourselves. To be a strong Christian means that we turn to the one who is strong for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. He wasn't done yet. There would be more temptations that our Lord would face, most of all in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's faced with a cup of suffering in front of him or the possibility of walking away. And our Lord chooses the cup of suffering because he chooses you. So for us who are tempted, the temptation of Christ is a great comfort and a great joy. We are reminded, as we heard from the letter to the Romans, that everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. So in temptation's hour, call on his name. Because temptations are sure to come. But woe to the devil, because we have a champion, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame all the assaults of the devil, and who overcame them not only for himself, but also for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
The congregation may be seated. I will now install our church council. I would like to invite forward those who are present today. The president of the congregation, Thane Emmerich, who is absent. Our vice president, Jeremy Paradise. Chairman of the elders, Ed Schaefer. the chairman of our trustees, Sandy Bowers, you can come forward. Our recording secretary, Kelly O'Ryan, I don't know if she's here this morning. Eric Niehaus, our treasurer. Ray Arsenault, our financial secretary. Amanda Roche, the superintendent of Christian education. Mark Sharon, the chairman of our missions board. And Betty Yancic, our church historian. And I also, at this time, wish to acknowledge and thank Kim Kierenton, who served for a number of years as our missions board chair. You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at Our Savior. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the Word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. We establish this church council because Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. And the constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish the various offices to which you are elected and appointed to serve. We follow the example of the early church, which says in Acts chapter 6, the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to the word and to the ministry, to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the Apostle Peter also writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word, in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, "I do."
I do.
I now address the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of our Savior Lutheran Church. You promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst. If so, then answer, "We do." Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of our Savior Lutheran Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Congregation, would please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen."
Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
Amen.
You may return to your seats. Friends in Christ, I now urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Bless the Reverend Robert Beinke, that he might serve faithfully as president of the New England District of the Missouri Synod, that our common life and work together may prosper. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend John Erickson, Jim Eagle, Joe Zaneski, Carl Hartwell, Richard Heiskin, Randy Hunter, Rosemary Jackson, Nancy Kengis, Justin Keith, Nancy McTighe, John Meyer Jr., Lucy Naylor, Ed Pinard, Ted Roberts, Sharon White, Shirley Gauthier, and Helene Schott, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Stephanie Miller, Kristen Gregory, Kristen Hanlon, Melinda Bergeron, Allie Moore, and Shayla Moore. Grant peace, we pray, to all lands where there is war and strife, especially Ukraine, and guide the church to care for those in need, to protect the innocent, and we pray that you would bring to repentance those who are responsible. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to all who mourn, especially to David and Lisa Emmons and Rich and Denise Verano and their families, and deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command, and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 32. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the shouts of deliverance. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when may be found. Surely in the harsh rush of the great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will stray away. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad, the Lord, and rejoice, O righteousness, and shout for joy, all your upbringing and all upright heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be restrained, but have the free rein it deserves, and be proclaimed for the salvation of souls, and for the joy and the strength of Christ's holy people, so that we serve you with steadfast faith and confess your name to the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.